All right. Today's reading comes from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to 11. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Great to see you all. If you don't know me, my name is Sam and I'm part of the preaching team in here. Yeah, go. Wow, it's the first Sunday after Easter. Where is Jesus? Woo! As Elisha said, he's risen. It was 1 week to go. And he is 1 week after Easter. I don't know where he's gone. But for us as Christians, so this is the real journey now. As Jesus rose, that's our biggest celebration. I know Christmas, but him raising from the dead is the biggest deal for us. That's why we believe in Jesus. And what happens after that is quite important, but as we did last year, we went back to the story of Jesus when he appeared to different people, appeared to the women first, and then he appeared to so many other people. But because it's daylight savings, so we're going to turn our clock backwards. So I thought we'll go back to the story, turn our clock backwards all the way. Instead of Matthew, we'll go to Genesis. So it matches with the daylight savings, all right? So Genesis, in fact, is the first book in the Bible. If you never read the Bible, and if you've never been to a church, welcome to All Saints this morning. We'll love to have you stay after the service, have a coffee with you, and get to know you a bit more. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. It's a compilation of interesting stories. If you love stories, please go home and read the book of Genesis. It's absolutely fantastic. And that's where we learn today about the story of Joseph. I thought, what's the best title about this story of Joseph? And if you missed Good Friday, which was last Sunday, and then the Friday before that, I'm saying especially to my friend Isaac, who is not here, there were some passionate kids that were here, and Kim and the team led the Good Friday service in a fantastic way. And they said they read a story, and they asked us to repeat this sentence. Can anybody remember that? That this is not the end of the story. And the kids were so enthusiastic, and there was this one kid especially like, "This is not the end of the story." And again, "This is not the end of the story." I love the passionate from the kids. I love the passion from the kids. And that actually, I was laughing at the time, by the way, in the service, because it was just funny to hear the kids, but it actually stuck with me, that sentence, that this is not the end of the story. In fact, that's what I named the title of the story of Joseph, that this is not the end of Joseph's story or your story. I thought to give a bit of introduction on what the Genesis is all about. Now, by many scholars, the book of Genesis is told as, they use the word called novella. What it really means is it's sort of the first example in the literature of what later came to be called as a novel. That's where the word novel comes from. It means it's a compilation of stories, as like you can read it like a novel, but it's actually true stories. And the structure of Genesis is in such a way that it's divided into two different parts, And I put it in the slideshow so you can kind of understand. The first block we call it is called the primeval block, which means there are first 11 chapters of Genesis. It's called the primeval block, and that includes the stories like creation, stories about Adam and Eve, what happened about the flood, and all the other aspects that happened before Abraham. The second block is called the ancestral block. That is chapters 12 to 50. It talks about Abraham and his family. It talks about the story of Joseph we're going to start to learn about today. In fact, the story of Joseph is so important that the author has used 13 different chapters just for the story of Joseph, 1-3. It almost takes one-third of the whole book of Genesis. If the author has included it, it means it's quite important, the story of Joseph. And just to let you know that all of this happens, most of this story happens in Egypt. So the goal for me as I lay the scene for the story of Joseph today is I want to lay the foundation about the story of Joseph so that in the next couple of weeks, as the team is going to share about the whole story, that I want all of us to grasp the understanding that the story of Joseph, when we learn from his story, when we read the whole story of Joseph, that we will get a better understanding of how we can live our lives. So can I encourage you for the next few weeks, please come along, bring your friends, and so you can get the whole picture of what the story of Joseph is about. Now, as I said, the main character in the story is Joseph. If you're in the kids' ministry, if you've been in a church for a while, there are two things that they always use Joseph as. Is Joseph, he was a dreamer. That was the first thing. And Joseph, he was a man that they know the story about. He had a beautiful coat that his father gave him. His father's name was Jacob. Now Joseph was the 11th son of his father Jacob, whose name was changed into Israel later on. As you read Genesis 37 and before that, you can have a better understanding of why his name was changed. But Joseph, he was the first child of Jacob's favorite wife. Can I remind you? Favorite wife. Please remember those words. Favorite wife. And her name was Rachel. In fact, the word Joseph, what does it mean? It means may he add. It means he is God. May God add. Because Joseph was actually born to Jacob and Rachel in a very old age. So he really loved Joseph. Jacob, his dad, really loved Joseph. And so the story of Joseph is so perfect that as I can read the whole book of Genesis, and you can go into the next book of, which is Exodus, it is set so perfect, yeah, please wait for the statistics, that I can say that it is a fantastic story, and like any other fantastic story, so a great story, it always begins with something called conflict. Like any great family, you always have issues. If you don't nod your head, I'm sorry, you're lying to me. But because there is a conflict, can I tell you, that does not mean it's the end of the story. So as we go through this book, as we go through the story of Joseph, as we see the conflict, what is the conflict here? Is that Jacob, who's Joseph's dad, he loved Joseph more than any of his sons. If you read the verse, as Lydia read today, chapter 37, verse 3, it says, now Israel, again his name was Jacob, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he's been born of his old age, and also what he did make, he made a special robe to give him, to make a point to everybody, not just to his family, but in fact to all the world around him, is that I love this son so much, that he made this special garment. In fact, there are a lot of translations that I read, the NIV version. It says, he made an ornate robe, which means it's a coat of many colors. In fact, it's quite expensive. If you read the literature before it, it's a coat that was very expensive. This father's unequal distribution of affection and love, it caused a negative reaction from his family. I'll repeat that again. Because of a dad who showed unequal distribution of affection and love, it caused really a negative effect. Now you can think about it. Why would love cause a negative effect? Because it was equal. It was undivided. It was just, he gave the special attention to this one kid out of all his sons. Now, I thought as I was preparing, what are the statistics in New Zealand or all over the world about father issues? And this is what it is. 1 in 20 births that happen have no father registered. 1 in 6 don't have a father that is living at the same address as the mother. 1 in 5 kids that are born had parents with no stated legal relationship. Now, this is what statistics say, is for children, absence of a father is associated with poverty, maternal hardships, abuse, neglect, lower cognitive capacity, substance use, poorer physical and mental health, and criminal offending. And it even says that the mortality rate, it means the fathers who are paying child support, is way higher than what has been in the past. So you can see the effect of a father's love on the kids. Now, I just want to add to that is that I don't want to neglect the mother's love as well, the impact it has on the kids. A lot of times, we need to understand some of the behavior patterns that you and me follow, you and me have, the mindset, the dysfunctions, how we behave. Why am I thinking like this? Why am I reacting to a situation like this? It's because of what has happened in the past. Now, that's why when I was preparing this, I said, okay, why does Joseph, obviously he had these big dreams, right? He had these two dreams, which I'm going to share to you in a little while. But why did his dad, Jacob, why did he give the special attention? Always when you read the Bible, always ask questions. It's good to ask questions. It's why? Why did he give a special attention to this one kid? Is it because of his, he was born of old age? Was it the only reason? Or was it something to do with it? In fact, when you dig deeper, you go a bit, one more generation above his dad, Jacob, you see that Jacob was desperately lacking love and affirmation. He had this inner neediness. He wanted this someone to say, I love you. He had this inner neediness from his father because his father, this is Jacob's father, Isaac, he clearly preferred his brother Esau, not Jacob. So you go back to history, you read it, and it says that there was, again, it was favoritism from his dad as passed on to Jacob. Now what happened is now this drove Jacob, this is, I'm talking about Joseph's dad, is literally, utterly, to fix his eyes, say, how can I fix this? So he found Rachel. Now again, the Bible says Rachel was a beautiful woman. So what he decided is that, cool, I'm going to marry this girl, and she's going to fix my problem about this inner desire, this inner needy. So he got married, and they had two sons. And so Joseph was born, and then she passed away when she had the other son. So you can see that for Jacob, Joseph became the new emotional center of his life because he was fulfilling that need. He was passing on. He was the only attention. In fact, I can add more to that is that Jacob loved Joseph in such a way that he gave him a coat of many colors as you read the story. You know, in the Hebrew, it's very hard to translate the coat of many colors. In fact, the word, in a lot of translation, I want you to think about this word, is called rich. It means Jacob, he lavished all his money in such a way only to Joseph, but not to any other kids, which means he spent a lot of his expenses on Joseph. And this made all his brothers angry and furious. In fact, I can say this, is that Joseph became a treasure for Jacob. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, what does it say? Where your treasure is, there your heart also be. In other words, can I add this, is that Joseph became the idol of Jacob's life. Not the big G, but the little small g, G-O-D. And Joseph became the central source of love and joy in his life. In fact, this poisoned the whole family system. As you read his story, it poisoned the whole family system. Now, can I remind you, because of this, this is not the end of the story for Joseph. So I thought I'll use a little bit of prop in my preaching. So I will have in the next 10 seconds, Joseph will walk in here. Now, I want you all to act like his brothers. All right? I want to see your reaction and I want to see how you behave. Okay? So just put up a good face. Now again, can I remind you that his brothers hated him. His brothers do not like him. If you have a similar family member, this is your time to take your reaction out. Just saying. No one in here, somewhere outside. All right, let's go, Joseph. Let's show a reaction. Come on, kids. Come on. Thank you, Joseph. Dreamer. Love that. Thank you, Joseph. Now, I watched all your faces. Wasn't good. That wasn't the reaction that the brothers gave. Now, as I read the story in here, the story says is that the first part, so go through the story, is that Joseph brought to his fathers a bad report about his brothers. Now, as I read some commentators, they say the bad report, it's not like, okay, he told something bad about his brothers. In fact, it says that he bought something, a false report. He told a lie. He actually misrepresented something that his brother actually didn't do. So in fact, this kid, who his dad thinks is special, he's becoming a liar. Now, more than a liar, let's talk about his dreams, all right? The first dream that he had is that he goes to his brothers and he tells them this dream in Genesis chapter 37, verse 7, and he says, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field. Again, they were all working out in the field. And suddenly, my one, it rose and stood upright, while your sheaves, you all gather around me and you bow down to it. And then he goes back again and tells them a second dream. Again, after the first dream, they hated him. They're like, we're not going to bow down to you. What are you talking about? He goes back again and he says the second dream. And he says this, is that, listen, I had another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars, which means all his brothers, you were bowing down to me. They hated him even more. What this tells me is that, to the very least, this man, the story that we're going to learn from, this main important character in the Bible, the Joseph, he's a sociopath. That, to the very least, it means he was pathologically insensitive to his own behavior to the other people. Don't think about anybody from anywhere else, please. Just saying. In fact, Joseph was becoming so evil, he was arrogant. He's becoming a cruel person. And this was getting too much that his dad even had to rebuke him. Now, in the Hebrew text, rebuke is a strong word. It's not like, hey, stop it. In the Hebrew context, rebuking is a very strong word. Because Joseph was so hubristic, he was so arrogant, he was so snobbish that his father had to calm him down. Stop it, this is way too much. His dad loved him, but he had to calm him down. Because he was on his way. This man, Joseph, was on his way to becoming a spoiled, a selfish, insensitive, arrogant, shallow, maybe I'm saying he might be an evil person as well. In fact, the Bible uses in the text, the 11 verses that Lydia read, three times they use the word hate, hate, hate. Verse 4, verse 5, and verse 8. The hatred is growing in this family. Now, you may ask, why are you teaching about him? This is crazy. I thought the Bible is about characters that we learn and we grow. I thought the Bible was about we can learn from these characters and we can live a good life. Do you think, go home and think about this. Do you think that the authors, please take that down for a minute. Do you think that the authors put this story to teach all parents? Parents, where are you? Yeah, there you are. Parents, do you think, Just making you think. Do you think that the authors put this story about Joseph to teach all our parents how to raise our kids? You think about it? Right. Let's not raise our kids this way. There's a better example. In fact, can I tell you this? I want us to grasp this. The Bible's purpose is to show us that God's grace, it breaks into your life, into my life, against your will, and that God's grace is what will save us from our sin and from our brokenness. That is the whole purpose of the Bible. Every page in this Bible cries out that there is religion, but there's also good news here. Every page in this Bible cries out about that. What is religion? Religion says, if you obey this, you will be accepted. That is what religion is. Do this, you will be accepted. But what is the good news? What is the gospel? Gospel says, you are absolutely accepted. However, whatever you are accepted. And because of that acceptance, now that you will start following. You will start obeying it. And that is called, that is what we call it, the good news. That is called the gospel message of what we believe in Jesus Christ. They're two different things. And as I said, every page in the Bible cries about it. Can I tell you about the story that I heard a while ago about this goose? A story about this goose, and I'm not sure if people have heard about it. The flock of geese, now again, winter is coming, right? So the flock of geese, the head goose said, all right, guys, I want to move out of this place because winter is coming and I want to go to somewhere warmer, so let's go. But there's always this one in the family, right? And he said, no, I don't want to go there. I want to just stay here. And the goose says, no, you're going to die. We all want to go to the warmer climate because winter is coming. But this geese was just very persistent, like somebody. It was persistent. It said, no, I don't want to go. I just want to stay here. So they forced him, and it just denied. So the head geese said, okay, cool. We will leave you here. We're going to go to the warmer climate. We're going to escape the winter. And we're going to go to the warm climate, and we'll be there. So this geese was there by itself, and all the other friends, they flew in a V formation, and they kept flying. Now, in a while, now this goose decided, oh, well, I'm all by myself. What can I do? So it starts flying. It says, look, I need to escape this. I think winter is coming. They were right. I'm wrong. I think winter is coming. Let's just start flying. Now, this goose is all by itself. There is no other geese, and geese always fly in a V formation because that's how they protect them from the wind. And they fly fast and they use less energy. So this goose starts flying and flying and flying, and because of the cold winds, its wings start getting frozen, and it falls down right at the bottom of a fresh, and can I tell you, it's a fresh cow dung, nice and green. It's fresh! You can imagine. That is not the end of the story for the goose. And because of the heat, you know, it's fresh, right, guys? It's fresh. Because of the fresh, it's just the wings started thawing, right? All the frozen, all the ice started melting. And it says, yay, it's a miracle. I'm getting better. Now I'm getting better. And because of his noise, there was a cat that came behind and it said, oh, this is my food for me. And the cat came and started licking the cow dung out of it. And it says, wow, what a miracle. God has sent me a miracle to help me out. Look, this cat, I didn't even ask this cat. It just started cleaning. It's licking after it's licking, now the cat started chewing. And it said, oh, no, I'm in trouble again. What do I need to do? And then the goose realized, hang on, I've got wings. I can fly. So it just flew about the cow dung. And it started flying and flying and flying and made its way towards the destination of warmer climate. What is the moral of the story? Exactly. What is the moral of the story? Is that sometimes you may feel like your dreams are not working. Sometimes you may feel like you're heading in the direction you're getting frozen. Sometimes, can I tell you, you may feel like you've just dropped right in a cow dung and things have thawed. Nothing is working. And sometimes there will be people that will come into your life and they will help you, they will nurture you, and you think, oh yeah, that's a miracle, this is great, God is helping me. But all you need to do is that God's grace is available for you to fly up the situation, to think above that, and keep moving to the dreams that God has given you. That is the moral of the story. You may not believe this, but can I remind you, every one of us here is that sin
and grace runs into all of our families. Sin and grace runs into all our families. And I want us to remember this, is that the way you behave sometimes, the patterns, the way you think, the way the, all the dysfunctions is not because of individual choices that's been made. It's because of the bad relationships that might have happened in the past. Now you may think, I want to stay away from the people. I want to stay away from my family who hurt me. But can I tell you, it's in the relationships, in the context of relationship is where healing comes. All you, every one of us needs is a loving, it's a caring, accepting people around us. And that's what we call a church community. It's fantastic for that. The theme is disciples following Jesus. It's all about that. It's putting yourself in a context where people love you, where people care about you, people care about your dreams. More than that, can I tell you, you need God, the one who made you, the one who knows your dreams, the one who's given you those dreams. Now, can I remind you is that in those times when Joseph lived, in the iron law of the hierarchical, they had a very hierarchical society, is that the older will never bow down to the younger. That was the law. That is what the younger will never, ever bow down to the older. So you can think, you can imagine this dream that God gave Joseph was completely turning the world's system upside down. In fact, if you go a bit more deeper, go home and think about this. Who interpreted Joseph's dreams? The first two dreams, it was his brothers. It wasn't Joseph. Go home and read about it. Joseph is the dreamer, but his brothers interpreted those dreams because they feared what might happen in the future. So can I remind you these few things as I finish, is that be careful who you share your dream with. If you know that this is a God-given dream, be very careful. Can I tell you that dreams can reveal your calling? God was preparing Joseph to become someone who will save his entire family. In this case, it was famine. If you have a dream, if you have a God-given dream, write it down. Pray about it. Can I remind you these last two things? It's God's timing, it's not your timing. It's wherever you are, whether you think you're by yourself, you're like the goose, you're flying all alone, you're in a cow dung, whether you think the cat is helping me, in whatever stage you are, can I tell you, whatever stage you are, whether it's in Joseph's story, he was thrown in the pit afterwards, he was in the jail afterwards, can I tell you, always strive to do good. Always, wherever, in whatever stage you are of life, always do good. And the last thing is that the dreams will never come in full. They've always been small, small parts. You can never understand the entire dream that God has given. No, no, no way. All you can do is this one step at a time. He will always show you one step at a time. But there is one absolute guarantee that God will be with you every step of the way. That is given. There is an absolute guarantee in every step of the way, God will be with you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So can I stir you up this morning and say, do you have those dreams that are still dormant? Have you given up on your dreams? And I just want to remind you that this is not the end of the story for you. You know, many a times I remember in my own life, you may not know, is that I was a massive stutterer. I had given up on my life. I have, because of people who made comments, and even I could hear them sometimes, that I will never do well in life because of my stuttering. I said I would never stand in front of people. I was not even in my list. I imagined that this is me. I will be stuttering all my life. I will never have any confidence. And I will never do well in life. But I can tell you, I can tell you, I can tell you. I know and I know and I know and I know and I know. This is God's grace. He has helped me. I get so scared every time they ask me to speak. I can tell you that. You think, oh, confident guy? No, no, no. I get so scared inside. The moment I stand here, something happens. It's because of God's grace. It's because he's got a dream on you. He's got his hand on you. Never forget that. Can I pray for you? I just want to pray for this two sets of people, is that we all have family dysfunctions. Can I tell you, don't neglect that. We all have these issues in our family. But I want to pray for certain sets of people. Please, if you come forward for praying, don't tell us what the issues are. We just want to pray for you. And the second group of people I want to pray for is that there are many here. God has given you a dream. You want to help in this way. And I can tell you, Andrew and the team, we will do whatever we can to put you in the right spot. What do you need to do? Because it's God's calling. The church is there to fulfill his calling for you. So can I pray for you? Father, as we sang those words, it just resonated in me. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Father, I thank you for your grace. I pray for everybody that's heard this preaching this morning, God, that your grace is sufficient. Pray and ask that everybody that is here, that you help them out of their dysfunctions, out of their family issues, whatever they're facing. And I pray those dreams that you have given them will come to pass. In Jesus' name.